No, we're good. We're good. Don't, you can't escape. Would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day, this time of worship. It shows that we are just but your creation, that we are fallible, that we have our times of trouble and stumble, but it is by your grace that you lift us up. And at this time now, it'll be by your grace that we receive your word and how it speaks to each one of us. That your word is that timeless creation of yours that just continues to manifest within your people. That you have opened us up to understanding. We pray that you would just bless us at this time now to hear your word, to hear your voice, and have it just direct our very lives. That by it, our faith would be strengthened and that we would just draw closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, it seems when I first started to take a look at the book of Ecclesiastes, there is no particular timetable as to which section of scriptures we'll look at in any particular week. But it is appropriate that this particular week that we take a look at the scriptures that we have for us in light of what's been going on in my particular life in the events of this week. Therefore, as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, we look at man's way of dealing with his life. And it shows that in man's attempts to control or to conduct his life, in all our efforts to find what brings us satisfaction, what's going to bring us wealth, what's going to bring us what we think is the good things of life, really are futile, really are meaningless. And as the scriptures tell us, that they are vanity. And it is all vanity. When we seek after our own efforts, or by our own efforts, to achieve these things that are under the sun. Whether we are trying to gain wisdom, or whether we're trying to gain wealth, whatever it might be, it could even that be when we pursue folly. At the end of the day, it is but striving after the wind. And no matter what areas the preacher here talks about, or this great philosopher that we've been listening to, it shows that when we try to fill it ourselves, when by our own efforts we try to get these things and gain these things, that we always seem to come up lacking. Well, I look back over the last 24 and a half years when I first got the position on the Long Island Railroad, and I see that throughout all that time, much water has flowed under the bridge. Times really are a-changing when you look back over that amount of time. And you look in, and I look in the mirror when I used to be a young man and looking in and not seeing much gray, if any at all. And today, during the week when I went and got a haircut, I noticed that a lot of gray was coming down. And I said to the girl, you know, does your machine change the color as it cuts it? So like I said, a lot has changed. A lot of milestones have come and gone in that 24 and a half years that I've started with the railroad. At the time when I began there, I was married and all we had was Jessica. We didn't have Christopher at the time. It was when I was on the railroad that Christopher was born and that we had both kids and that they had gone through school. That over the years, they've both gone through school, graduated, have found jobs, and by God's grace, He has continued to watch over them as they become young adults. And that God is doing a great job there. We moved from our older house, having built another, and still continue to live there to this day. Through the years, Olivia and myself have gained and lost some weight. Prefer to talk about the loss. Much has gone along. We have achieved many things, and it has been quite a journey in this 24 and a half years. But again, they are all efforts that we have been going through that have been under the sun. The one thing that has changed the most dramatic in the past 24 and a half years, that which is most significant in our lives, is that of salvation. And looking back over the providential care of God in my life and in our lives, I can see His working in a way that He did. That by His divine providence in my life, He had to have me on the railroad. When I entered the railroad and began there, I was just a regular guy working. It was on the trains. It was on the very train in Huntington where a fella who had the love for sharing the gospel spoke to me one night. And it was by God's divine providence that on that train, having received this position, that He came to me. That I heard His voice clearly and resoundingly for the first time saying, "Come, follow me." It was at that time where my inner man, that the scriptures speak of, heard His voice, and I heard, "Rise up, follow me." And it was from that time on that I did follow Him. Sometimes trying to go my own way, but for the most part, He reined me back in. He led us to this church when we first saw it after a church that preached the gospel. And in His divine way, He first revealed this church to Olivia through her workplace. And the people she worked with at the time said that this was a nice church that we started to attend here. And that through this time, after about 10 years of being here, God kind of said it's time to move on, thinking that we needed to go somewhere else. And it was all by His sovereign hand that we saw other churches, we went to several, but that we saw how they worked and the people that are in them and different things, which meant that eventually God brought us back here. And look to where we are today. I'm standing here preaching the gospel, sharing the scriptures with you all. And you say that you appreciate me. You have no idea how much I appreciate each and every one of you. That you come here each week to seek God, to hear His voice through His word, and to allow me to be here in the pulpit to do so. God certainly uses us in many ways. And the portion of scripture that we're going to look at today is in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. So if you would open there. But before I read it, before you become a bit more familiar with these verses, let me ask you, how many of you have ever heard of the group The Birds? Yes. They sang a song many years ago in my youth called Turn, Turn, Turn. It was actually released back in 1965. I can remember hearing that song on the radio, primarily WABC or WNBC on the radio. At the time, it sounded like a good song. Who knew that it was actually scripture being sung? So if you would, chapter 3 in the book of Ecclesiastes, we'll look at verses 1 through 10. There is an appropriate time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die. I'm almost ready to sing it, but I'll spare you. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time of embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up a loss as lost. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart, a time to sew together. A time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. It is in the creation account that we read in Genesis, where God first provides for us his creation of time. He produced it for us. He set before us light and darkness. He divided it. He called it day and he called it night. And in doing so, he established time. He did it for his creation so that we can measure the amount of time that we have in our lives and what we do with it. We can just sit floundering doing nothing, or we can be productive and be resourceful for our Lord. When we read the verse there, there is an appointed time for everything. Man who lives his life separated from God finds that the events that take place in his life truly are meaningless. They truly are vanity. He may work hard at trying to accomplish what his goals are, but he finds that they are futile. And it is here that the preacher makes it clear that God provides for us a time for everything. We are told to be captains of our own lives, to be the captain of our fate. Yes, we must work and provide and survive through our lives, but that we see that in strictly human terms, that it is all vanity, that it is all striving after the wind. It isn't until we realize that it is God who has appointed for us a time for everything in our lives. Most of us see God's appointed times in our lives, or those who know God, as being on time. But those who do not know God, do not understand his timing, do not understand what he is doing in our lives, and they run into difficult times, and they just kind of throw up their hands. We see life, as those who are faithful, as a clock that God has set before us, that it is in his appointed times that we should conduct ourselves for his glory, that we should see his hand in our lives, that we should be there to love him, to serve him, to just lift up his name and praise him, for he has only allotted us so much time. And there is a time for every event under heaven. Some of us may escape certain events in our lives, such as hard time, really difficult times, or sickness, or success. But most of us will encounter all these different events that take place under heaven. And here the scriptures now will list out many of those events that affect mankind. It is in the first two verses that we look at here that God has total control over, where it says that a time to give birth and a time to die. Man or doctors may feel that they have the control over birth and death, but no, it is only in the hands of God and how that is conducted. We read in Deuteronomy 32, 39, "See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand." Life can only come from life, and that first initial life definitely had to come from God. The question out there so often is, when does life begin? Well, it began when God first created man, and it just continues from then on. And he is the one who gives it, and he is the one who can take it. It is in his ordained power. When we are young, we see the last part of our lives ending as never coming really to our minds. We don't realize it. We don't even think about it. We're invincible. But as we gain years and we get a bit older, and we see that most of our time is behind us, and what lies ahead may not be as much, we start to realize that God certainly is in control of our days, and that the ultimate question of our death is in His hands. That is where faith comes in the most important way. That we understand that it is by His divine power, that He is sovereign, that He controls these matters of birth, of life, and of death. And that He has appointed all these things according to His will in our lives. You see here that in agricultural terms it is put a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. To plant something, no matter what that crop might be, is to give it life, to put it in the soil so that it'll receive the nutrients that it needs, and that it would grow, and that the life of that plant would take on its being there. That whether it's tares or whether it's wheat, that the ultimate end will be a harvest. And we see that the planting is the giving of life, and the harvest is the uprooting or the taking of that life of that plant. And that is where we need to understand where it is in God's providential care. We read in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment." Again, all matters of God in God's hands. We look at verse 3 and we get an opposite view here, or an opposite timing of things. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. We notice here in this verse that the one that seems worst comes first. First comes the time to kill, or the tearing down. And it seems strange that it would be in that order. But yet God wants to show us something here. And He shows us that in verse 2 is the natural progression of things, to build up, to give life, and then to pass away or tear down. Now we're looking at more of a supernatural way that God works. In man, God must first kill our sinful nature. He must put it to death, put it behind us, so that in doing so, we can rise up with a newness of life that He provides for us. He gives us first the understanding that we need to have a broken and contrite heart, and He gives us a new life that we would become a new creation. Our pride and our self-centeredness must be taken down. It must be put to an end. We must be given a heart to serve, to put God in the center of our lives, and that we would work towards being built up into His image. Continuing in this cycle of life that we are given here in these verses. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Each of these comparisons are really but two ends of the spectrum. Two ends of a rainbow, where one is at one extreme and the other is at another. And all that takes place in between is in God's hands. These things happen in each of our lives. We see that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. And it is time that heals these things. That it is time that's required for these changes to take place. As Pastor Chandler used to say so often, this too will pass. And it is true that in time these things do change. Yes, time heals so many wounds. When we lose someone, that grieving period can hurt terribly. But over time, we realize that we too must move on, that there is life there and that we must live it, that the weeping is put aside, and that there will become a time when the pain and that weeping is put aside, and then we can have a time to laugh and to rejoice. There is that grieving process that must take place. But over time, it can turn. Slowly first to a smile, and then maybe to laughter. Our mourning or our grieving over time will be turned. Maybe the word here that we see in our scripture is dance, but it actually means in the Hebrew just to skip about. And we see that change. We can see it in Jeremiah chapter 31. Here the prophet is speaking of a time where Israel will be redeemed by its Messiah. The difference of being under the law and being in bondage, being condemned by sin, is a time for mourning. But we look at Jeremiah 31, verses 11 through 13. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and redeemed him from the hand of him who was stronger than he. They will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. And their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never languish again. Then the virgin will rejoice and dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. This is what God will do for his people. He will break that bondage of sin and death. He will take away that mourning that we have when we are under his condemnation. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, he will turn us to a people who will rejoice, who will dance, who will skip about, because we have so much in our salvation that gives us that opportunity to rejoice and to dance. Here in Jeremiah, he is prophesying towards a nation who was under that condemnation, who did not know the joy of the Lord at the time. But it is when the Messiah comes, he will change them, bringing about a new creation. There will be times of peace in a time and that the scriptures talk about. Just go back here. Where we will rejoice in the Lord, that peace that he gives us. You can see that in recent history, there's those times of peace are good, but they seem to be so fleeting. There was a period of time in our lives between the Desert Storm War of 1991 and then 2001. 10 years where our nation basically knew of peace, but it all seemed so short. And in that same 10 years between 2001 and today, 2011, another 10 years, a 10-year period of war and strife, it seems so long. It's amazing how our perspective of time is when we look at that. The 10 years of peace seem so short, and the 10 years of war just seems so long. Our perspective of time matters in what we go through. Again, it is all what is accomplished under the heavens. We look at verse 6 where we see a time to search and a time to give up at last, a loss as lost. We spend so much of our youth in search of what will gratify us. We spend so much of our time as young people looking in so many different directions. We look for wisdom from schools. We figure we'll go to the universities. We'll go to the colleges. We'll gain our wisdom. We search for knowledge. We look for relationships in our youth. We try so many different areas to find love or marriage. It is a time where we are searching for self-discovery as to who we are on the face of this earth. It is also a time where so many of us search out what religion fits right into our lives. It is a time when we look in so many different directions for the meaning of life. And here the scriptures are talking about that time where we are in search. But it is in God's timing when He reveals Himself to us. As we travel down so many different avenues, searching and trying to find out who we are and find the answers that are there. The answer truly is right before our very eyes. This morning we look at the words of the One who created all. And He is telling us He is the answer. We must come to realize that. And the sooner in our youth that we realize that, the better we will be as we grow older and we search out the things under the sun. The scriptures tell us there is a time to keep and a time to throw away. And for us pack rats, we should come to understand that verse so clearly. It's funny, as we were going through the church yesterday and looking at different areas of the church, we were saying how many different things are just old books or papers or what have you that just sit around for all these years and that they need to be discarded. So the scriptures are clearly telling us that there is a time to keep, and perhaps keeping something for 30, 40 years might be extending its time a little too much, but that it is clear that we can throw them away as well. In verse 7, we see that there is a time to tear apart and a time to sew together. Yes, there is. So often here in the scriptures, you see it in verses 2, 3, where is a time to take down, a time to build up. And there again, opposing spectrum, ends of the spectrum. And in breaking things down, there is also that time of restoration and in time of healing. And we look here at verse 7 in the second part of it. A time to be silent and a time to speak. How many times that we should have realized that there is a time to keep our big mouths shut. James talks so much about our tongue and the things that it affects. We read in James chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, it speaks of, "Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." And the tongue is a fire, the very word of iniquity. The tongue, world of iniquity, excuse me. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by Gehenna. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles, of creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. A major step in our maturity, in our getting older and becoming a bit more wiser, is to know when to open our mouths and when to be quiet. It is an important aspect of our growing up. Verse 8 concludes this perspective of life and time in both individuals and in nations, where we see that there is a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. For the individual, there are times when it is necessary for us to love, and there is times for us as well to hate. We should hate what is evil. We should hate what is not godly. But we should love one another as God has commanded us. As nations, we see that there is time of peace, as I spoke of before, and there is time of war when we need to defend ourselves or to make right what is wrong. And all these verses, we see that there are appointed times for everything under heaven. And we conclude with 9 and 10, then we see that all is vanity, that all our efforts are but vain. What profit is there to the worker. The question is asked. The sons of men are given tasks, but what profit is there? It is what we do for God. When we are all just 100 years old and we look back on the span of our lives, we will see that there have been times of planting. The question is, what seed will you be planting in the soil? What crop will you be looking for? Will it be wheat or will it be tares? We will look back over that 100 years to see that there have been times of building in our lives. The question is, on what foundation have you built? Would it be a foundation of sand that can be washed away, or will it be on the rock of our Lord and our Savior? There will be times over those 100 years where we look back and we see that there were times of love, there was times of laughter and rejoicing. And at the end of that laughter and that rejoicing and of that love, will we see a mourning? Will we see our mourning turn to tears? Or will we see that we can turn them to praise and that we can dance in the glory of our Lord? At the end of our 100 years, will we see God's hands leading and directing our lives? Directing us particularly to Calvary and to the cross and bringing us forth into eternal life? Or will we be, at the end of our 100 years, looking back on our own efforts and seeing what we have done in ourselves and look back and say it was vanity and that we'll be striving after wind? Thank God for giving us a perspective of time so that we don't waste it. It is so easy to do, but that we use it to the glory of God. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word, for your lessons that you teach us. Here we see that time is such an important factor, that we have but a few years on this earth, and what we do with it is so important. Of our own efforts, it is vanity. But to your glory, to praise you, is eternal. That you have given us eternal life through your Son, in which we should be rejoicing. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we will continue.